Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Weird World Adventures podcast. As I'm sure you know by now, my name is Mallory, and I can't wait to bring you guys on my journey to see how weird this world of ours really is. Today, I'm doing something probably a little bit shorter than normal, but I hope you still appreciate it. I'd love to have a conversation with you guys about divination. Since what seems like the dawn of time, humans have looked to the heavens for some type of unknown force to offer them guidance throughout their lives. Whether it's to provide a sort of lacking confidence, hope for a brighter future, or to help themselves process their thoughts through difficult times, divination always has been relevant and important to humanity throughout all of history. It falls right into that ideal that we genuinely want to believe that there's more out there in the expanded universe than we know. While many associate divination with paganistic, occult, and supernatural topics, which is honestly largely true, it's making its way much more rapidly into the modern mainstream world with the New Age ideals. Divination is believed to come from a number of different sources, depending on the religion or beliefs of the person who's casting it. Divination is a reflection of the person using it. What do I mean by that? So a Christian mystic may believe that their tarot readings are insights from God. Someone who believes in multiple gods might see the answers as coming from them. And for those who believe that there could be a global consciousness that we're all able to access, well, they may believe that they're reaching out to and gaining information from this not yet fully understood web of consciousness and insights. The sky is really the limit here. I see divination as a reflection of the person casting it, which is great as you'll always interpret the answers in the way that is clear and necessary for you to see them. So it could just honestly be a good tool to help you gain insights from yourself. While divination spans a wide range of topics, you know, from reading tea leaves, tarot cards, domino divination, etc., today I'd like to discuss a new interest to me in great detail, rune stones. So we're going to talk a bit about rune stones before ending with a little bit of history of perhaps the most famous sect of divination, tarot. So let's start with runes. What can I say about rune casting? Well, right off the bat, I will say that I love runes as a modern form of divination, as they act as a guidance tool that can help you work with your own subconscious and insights to solve problems. The more specific question you ask, the clearer your possibilities are to work yourself through to an answer. Runestones go back to the Germanic and Scandinavian people. Vikings used letters that they called runes, which were imitations of the Latin letters of Europe. Basically, during the first century AD, the Romans influenced a lot of Europe, and runes were likely developed by the Germanic tribes as an inspiration from the Latin alphabet. This alphabet was named after the first six letters, Futhark. They were inscribed on coins, in brooches, on weapons, on daily iron implements, and then on stones later for divination. In the Norse regions, these runes carved on stone are an ancient alphabet believed to be discovered by Odin himself, making the symbols of important universal themes and a way to communicate directly with the gods themselves. Traditional runes were made from wood of any tree that would bear nuts, specifically oak, hazel, cedar, or pine. The symbols of this ancient alphabet were then burned, carved, or painted onto the wood. In the more modern world, this tradition began including actual stones that the symbols were carved into themselves. I will actually say I purchased some runestones recently as I gained more of an interest in them, just to kind of play around, and I found this beautiful set of runestones that were carved into moonstone, which are quite lovely, so really the sky is the limit right now in what you can get for these runestones. It is believed if you create your own stones, you are imbuing them with your essence, making them more beneficial and, well, tied more directly to you. As with tarot and other forms of divination, there are endless ways to utilize and cast runestones. You can simply ask a question and pick one stone out of the bag to answer your question. You can do a three-stone spread for past, present, and future. You can use a nine-stone spread, and one of my favorites is the New Year spread, where you pull a stone to represent each month of the calendar year ahead. Again, these are tools to get the answers you seek out of your subconscious, and perhaps with some sort of divine intervention as well, if you believe in that. So the sky really is the limit in the spreads you like to cast for yourself. So whatever you're feeling called to do, go for it. I mean, that's what I love most, I think, about divination, is it really is whatever you want it to be. So you can pick whatever spread speaks to you and go with it. Today, you can basically pick up runestones at any metaphysical store or on Amazon. I mean, what's not on Amazon? So if you're interested in them, they are easy to access and they make one heck of a tool to dive into your spirituality. I would also recommend picking up a guidebook, as you'll need help, at least in the beginning, remembering the meaning of each of the stones. There are 24 of them after all. It's a pretty big set. So until you're very used to using them, you will need a refresher on what everything stands for. Now, more well-known than rune casting and much more easy to get a plethora of information on is tarot. So I'd like to shift the conversation over into the history of tarot here. Tarot cards are an iconic symbol of divination and the spiritual world. From something considered occult and evil at one time to being scattered across bookstores, including Barnes & Noble, in a dozen incarnations and novelty looks, they've played a huge role in not just the history of divination, but also in the formation and identity of New Age ideals. But did you know where tarot cards originated from? While interesting to say the least, I wish I could tell you there was some more epic and symbolic origin story for tarot. Unfortunately, that's not the case at all. Are you ready for this? Tarot cards started simply as playing cards. Let's discuss the details that took tarot from a game inspired by Carnival to an iconic symbol of divination and cartomancy. I give you the strange history of tarot. To get back to the roots of tarot, it's important to bring up the invention of playing cards. While no one knows exactly when playing cards came to be, they were first documented in 1377 in Freiburg im Breisgau by John of Rheinfelden. I just want to put a little addendum there that Freiburg im Breisgau is one of my favorite places. I actually went there last year on my epic journey across the German countryside, and it's a really artistic, fresh, modern cesspot. It's a university city, so there's a lot of new ideals being forged there, so I'm not at all surprised that's where playing cards came from. Anyway, back to tarot. The tarot cards variant of playing cards were created in Italy, actually, in either the late 14th or early 15th centuries. Inspired by the colors and characters of Carnival, the game was called Tarocchi. The direct translation of this is unknown, but people think it was a joke referring to worthlessness. As the game spread across Europe, it eventually reached the south of France, where it was simply called tarot. Instead of having the suits we know of today, on the cards, the hearts, spades, diamonds, and clubs, the tarot playing cards of the past had cups, clubs, coins, and swords on them, as do most modern divination forms of the cards in one form or another. And the playing cards of Italy, Spain, and Portugal still mostly sport these classic tarot suits. Funny enough, not exactly related to the history of tarot, but cards overall, prior to the invention of the modern-day printing press in 1436, playing cards were considered something for wealthier people, as they couldn't be mass-produced. Each set would have to be painted by hand, so even a generic set would get pricey pretty quickly. In fact, many rich noble families would have their playing cards custom painted to serve as a status symbol, so these cards were generally a symbol of the rich and powerful. Interestingly enough, however, tarot cards were solely used for gaming purposes and didn't take on an occult meaning at all until the 18th century. In 1773, Antoine Court de Gebelin proposed publicly that they had a deeper meaning inspired by the knowledge and gods of ancient Egypt, as well as the secret wisdoms of Thoth. Jean-Baptiste Alliot then wrote and popularized the idea of tarot as a mystical phenomenon. It was here at the end of the 18th century that they officially began being used for cartomancy. People began using their playing cards and giving different hidden meanings to them, claiming that they could foretell the future based on the clues provided in the cards. With a love of unlimited future possibilities and a want to believe in a higher spiritual power, divination took off from there. This makes sense as this predates the spiritualism movement just barely, which would first appear in the late 1840s, so this was likely part of the groundwork of what would later be developed into the spiritualism movement. This is where the official history of tarot was truly formed. After the idea of tarot as a spiritual tool spread like wildfire, companies began printing separate divination decks, so playing cards were distinctly separated out from the idea of tarot. While the tarot card games can still be found in some countries across Europe, it took a backseat to both the idea of regular modern trading cards and divination tarot. Strangely enough, in the Western world and English-speaking countries, you can only really get divination tarot and won't find the tarot card games available anymore, as divination tarot is actually what took off here, specifically with the dawn of the New Age movement in the 1970s, in which tarot plays a major role. Tarot as a divination practice only makes sense as people have believed for centuries that they can receive messages from the beyond in many ways with a variety of tools. As we mentioned, from runestones to tea leaves to fire reading, through meditation. So it only really makes sense that the idea of spreading out cards to read hidden messages became so relevant to us. We really do, as humanity, want to feel like there is something more out there or like there is some form of guidance available to us. So we are always looking for signs and clues. It is just part of our nature. Most of the iconic images of modern tarot came forth thanks to the Rider deck, which was created in 1909 by British occultist Arthur Waite, who was a member of the Order of the Golden Dawn. Today, you can get a variation of the classic Rider deck in basically any store that sells tarot cards. The original images on the Italian tarot depicted more Hebrew and Egyptian symbols and imagery, whereas Arthur Waite's ensured his deck brought forth images that were less Christian in nature, offering a more modern design. You can't see my air quotes, but I kind of use some air quotes here for Christian and modern. He also took out some more of the Christian terms used in the original tarot games and decks, changing the Pope card to the Hierophant and the Papess to the High Priestess. What the Rider deck created changed the world of modern tarot, and like I mentioned, served as the main setup for all tarot incarnations. And today, you can walk into any bookstore or metaphysical store and find a variety of tarot that suits any style you could possibly want. Angel tarot cards, dragon tarot cards, cat tarot cards, you name it. They even have a set of Buffy the Vampire Slayer tarot cards, which are coming out in March, that my sister so kindly got me for Christmas, and I am very much looking forward to them. Anyway, the idea of getting different types of tarot cards to suit your personality has become a major part of the New Age movement. But again, we have the Rider deck to thank for the base of all of this. And that's the history of tarot in a nutshell. While I wish it was wilder, it's still an interesting tale, from playing cards in the 14th century to divination cards just prior to the spiritualism movement to a symbol and icon of the New Age. Tarot cards really have developed and morphed throughout the years. And while you may or may not believe in their abilities to connect with something greater, no one can deny that tarot cards have become an iconic symbol throughout the world. Now, I'm curious to know from all of you, what's your favorite type of divination? Is there a type of divination you'd like me to cover in the future? I definitely want to bring up more about runestones and reading runes as I continue to do my studies on that, because I just find that fascinating. But if there's one type you'd like to know more about, please feel free to reach out to me, send me a message, or make a comment on the Weird World Adventures Instagram or Facebook page, and I'm happy to cover more of these topics as they really do intrigue me. If you do need to find me to leave a message or have any suggestions on topics you'd like to hear about, like I said, we are on Facebook at Weird World Adventures or on Instagram at Mallory's Adventures, which is M-A-L-O-R-I-E-S and then Adventures, or Weird World Adventures on there as well. Well, that's all I have for you guys today. I know it's a little bit short, but I just really felt compelled to talk about divination as I've been dealing with a lot of personal issues and things that have come up in life recently. I just lost my best friend, and I'm just watching and observing the way that people act when tragedy and major life occurrences happen, and a lot of people do find themselves reaching out to a greater force or trying to get insights from the universe in ways that they can't fully understand. And I find it very interesting, and so it's piqued my interest and curiosity on divination and runestones even further, something I've always been interested in before, but it's really just taken a blaze recently. So I will keep you all updated on that journey. I hope this was interesting for you. And until next time, I hope you guys stay weird.